Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and today we are going to attack the salad. Not a very American thing to do, attacking the salad. The salad was the response about 30, 40 years ago to the fact that we discovered, many of us discovered, that what we were doing to our animals was just completely cruel and inhuman. Those lovely cows that we slaughtered, butchered, and sent to our dinner plates. We created a consciousness that the way we treated these animals was detestable, and, you know, certainly it was. And this propelled the solution, which was to switch to a salad-based sort of an existence. And although this has merit, no one ever did this. The Europeans didn't do this. The Chinese didn't do this. South America didn't do this. This was an American concept. And as we all know, when America gets behind it, nothing stops us. So we've brought so much attention over the years to the salad. I want to take apart the salad today, because we all know that health and salads go together. And we all know that salads give us fiber, and because they give us fiber, and if you don't have fiber, the Surgeon General says you're going to get cancer if you don't have enough. We've got lots of studies, ample studies, that show us that if you don't get your fiber, you're going to get cancer, especially in your intestines. And so the salad gets our vote. And yet, with a little education, or if you're ambitious, a little more education, we're going to put this in perspective. You know that's one of my favorite things to do. Give you education so you can get things in perspective. So we're going to bust the myth of the salad. And I'm going to go after juicing too. Both salads and the art of juicing are American concoctions, and they're overstated. But by the end of the show, you'll know how to use it, how to do salads and juicing correctly, because you're going to learn the science. Number one, if you bloat, if you have chronic gas, you have a problem. And lots of people live with these problems. They live for 10, 20, 30 years with these problems because you can get by. I mean, there's so much of it. It's kind of normal to wake up in the morning, go to the bathroom, feel that nice flat feeling when you put on your trousers or dress. By the end of the day, you got an extra 5 pounds of something in your belly. And then in the morning again, you evacuate. And that's the way we live. And because everybody lives that way, it's normal. It's not normal. And yet it's so prevalent, everybody thinks it's okay. Gas and bloating hurt you bad. Now, a lot of people bloat to anything. If you bloat to anything, I mean, you name it, people bloat to water, you've got other problems. You need to see a qualified practitioner, some holistic person that's got some insight into infection, because infection can drive gas and bloating. No two ways about it. But the other 80% of it, for every person that I see with infection, there's 100 people that just don't know how to eat. The problem with gas and bloating means something's rotting, something's not being digested. There's pathogens in the gut that are attacking the food that you're supposed to get. And the result of chronic gas and bloating is an inflammatory situation. It means those suckers. So when you chew your food, hopefully you've got teeth, and you chew it well, you masticate it, it goes down the gullet, that's our esophagus, into our stomach, and out into the intestines. Once it gets to the small intestines, your guts, 35 feet. We make sausage casings out of them in animals. You ought to be able to take out the small intestine and blow it up like a balloon. And sure enough, any farmer worth his salt, especially the old timers, will tell you, back then you could make sausage casing out of an animal's guts. These days, these animals ain't got no guts left. You're right. Their guts have holes in them. So do ours. Why do you think IBS and these colitises is at the top of the list? Because people can't digest anymore because the inside of their small intestine is so inflamed that those little suckers, the intestinal villi, there is the technical word, V-I-L-L-I, look it up. The intestinal villi become inflamed, and then you digest the food, but larger chunks of it, larger particulates of it, larger compounds of it, because the suckers, the filtration system in the small intestine, is so much inflamed that bigger pieces get into your system. We're all, many of us, if you've got gas and bloating, you're living with some version of leaky gut. And when you look at people's blood under the dark field microscope, you see the pictures of all these food particles in the blood that shouldn't be there. So we know we've got this. We know leaky gut's a reality. And whether you're leaky gut and you can't stand up, or you're leaky gut and you're just simply bloating, I want to shift your understanding of the fact. I mean, you hear everybody say it. Often you hear Dr. Marshall say it. Digestion, 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 digestion. We become broken records about this word digestion. But that's the truth. Because down there in the intestines, you have grades of inflammation, degrees of inflammation. Once you cross into a degree of inflammation that you need to do something about, you've got gas and bloating. Once you've got gas and bloating, you're in that level. Now, what does this have to do with the salad? Concept. People do not digest fiber. That's the concept there. People don't digest the fiber. We're not designed to do that. We don't make the enzymes. Well, we do to an extent. But to the bigger extent, we're not made to digest the fiber in vegetables. On top of which, when I get to juicing, here's the other concept. Our intestinal tracts will inflame. They'll inflame just like fiber will inflame the intestines. If you take too much nutrient in the juice, you bombard, you crash, you overwhelm those intestinal villi with too much good stuff. If you try to force too much good stuff onto a tissue, the tissue inflames. So go down there in the little spaceship into your small intestines and look at those suckers, those intestinal villi. If you give them something they cannot handle, like fiber, they're going to inflame. If you give them too much of something that ordinarily they can handle, especially if it's cold, cold juice, if you give them too much of something they can handle, they're going to inflame. Either way, when those intestinal villi inflame, you're going to find out about it. And we're going to call that gas, and we're going to call that bloating. Now, what's a salad? And what about people that eat raw broccoli and raw cabbage, raw kale, raw collard greens, raw chard? We've adopted this concept in America today because the Surgeon General says you got to have your fiber. The Surgeon General didn't say eat Brillo. He didn't say eat a leaf that has such a cellulose integrity that you could scrub your floors with it. See, we've overstated this. This is an exaggeration. In the end, I'm right. If you bloat. If you eat salads and you bloat to salads, don't let your ego, your head, intercept your common sense. So this is the thing. If you understand your body, then you can start to interpret all this data that everybody's giving you that may not be specific to you. If you're listening to this show and you eat salads and you don't bloat and they digest easily, bravo. We'll get into digestion later. We'll just do a brief review of the dynamics of digestion. But the point is, if you're that person, then you still need to listen to this show because you're going to learn so much. But eat salad. You see, it's always common sense. And this is the, I'm going to keep saying this till I'll never stop saying this because I never stop seeing it. People coming in every single day. I'm so confused because everybody says this, that, and the other thing. And all they're doing is replacing bodily intelligence and common sense with their minds. Acquisition of data, opinions are good. Conflicting opinions are good. That's fantastic. There's thousands of people out there in the nutrition game that are going to tell me this attack today on juicing and salads is absurd. That they've got digestive enzymes and various other things, probiotics and this and that, and HCL and gallbladder flushes that are going to put an end to this problem. And you go out there and you suck down those raw salads, no problem. There's so much controversy, and that's good. Varying opinions is good. The public, you're the public. You don't think that. You don't think it because it's another headache. You just want to do it one way. And this is the problem. You're not system analyzing correctly. There's nothing you have ever studied. There's nothing you, John Q. Public, have ever studied and become proficient in that's been a matter of just one line of thought. You always have to integrate. And what I'm asking you to do with this salad issue and juicing is understand that when you're bloating and you have gas, you're intercepting your common sense. You're intercepting your bodily intelligence because you're using too much of that frontal lobe of your brain. Now, if you can get that, you can get it all. You can also understand the context of my 94 shows. And if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Sign in, get a membership, 94 hours. That's an encyclopedia. Break them down systematically and listen and learn. All right, so you eat and you bloat. The fiber in the broccoli, the fiber in the cauliflower, the cellulose, is put there so the plant, whether it's spinach or carrot or kale or cucumber, it's put there to structure, to give the organism, the plant, structure. If you didn't have cellulose, a carrot would just be a blob of jelly on the floor. What we call in human beings collagen, if you pull out your liver and you throw it down on the kitchen sink and you look at your liver, that liver has structure. If you take the collagen out of the liver is just a mass of jelly. In plant language, that collagen is called cellulose. Cellulose is there to give the plant structure. It separates the cells, it organizes them, so on and so forth. It's very good for the plant, but we can't digest it. That's the big problem. So, there's this rumor going around that you got to eat it raw, because if you eat it raw, then what happens is you don't destroy the nutrients, and that if you steam and cook and well steam, you're destroying all the wonderful vitamins and minerals. And that's one of the first myths we're going to go after. Myth number one, minerals. Minerals are not destroyed when you boil the plant. Minerals are released from the fiber. If you steam your broccoli, if you steam your chard, if you steam your kale, you're going to break down the fiber intensely. If you throw it in a soup and you save the broth, meaning you evaporate enough of the liquid and yet you leave some liquid because it's a soup and you drink the broth, the steaming at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Celsius, the steaming of the plant does not destroy the minerals, calcium, magnesium, zinc, sodium, potassium, phosphorus, so on and so forth. A little uranium if you eat it in California, strontium 90. It doesn't destroy the minerals. So this is a myth. It's a myth to say, oh, well, if you steam it, if you put it in soups, if you cook it, you're going to destroy the minerals. That's myth one. Now, the vitamins. The vitamins, yes, that's true. If you heat the plant, you will start to destroy the vitamins. But what you have to weigh this against, and this is where Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and lots of folk remedies from Europe. So don't think the Europeans don't know this. Don't think the Russians, the Scandinavians, the Germans, the Celts, don't think they don't understand this, because they do. If you study their cultures, they're all into soups. They're not doing salads. Salads for the Amalfi Coast. Salads for parts of France. Salad is more akin to southern climates, which is way more conducive to digesting salad, and we'll get into that later. But the point is, cultures have always understood that the way to take down a vegetable is to steam it, and most of all, to put it in a soup. When you break the fiber down in the soup, when you break the fiber down in the vegetable and make it into a soup, what you're ensuring yourself is that the vitamin will be released from the fiber. When you eat the vegetable raw, you can't pull the vitamin out of the plant because of the fiber. The fiber, as much as it may be a help in a sense, as much as it may be a help in the sense that you're scraping your intestines, that, yeah, you are moving out a higher proportion of dead cells, of dried up, or I should say, of older degrees of mucus. For as much as that's the case, the other part of that is that you're holding all the vitamin and mineral concentration of the food, the very food you thought you were eating for health. So you can have your chemist break down a piece of raw broccoli, and then you can have a chemist analyze the vitamin and mineral content of raw broccoli, and then you can have them analyze the vitamin and mineral content of steamed broccoli or broccoli that's been mushed into a soup, and they'll tell you, yeah, you've lost vitamin. And then you can conclude that you're going to get more of that if you eat it raw, and you have made a massive boo-boo. One of the great ways to starve yourself to death is to do this. And I see lots of people do it. Now, Ann Wigmore, okay, and the Hippocratic Institute, for as much good as they do, and if you're a follower of that way of eating, where you sprout your foods and you do all these juices, wheatgrass juice especially, understand that one of the themes in my show is to use education specific to your body to figure out what's what. So we all agree that that's the way we go about this. You would be shocked if you met, as I've met, all the people who have eaten that way, the sprouts, the juices, the wheatgrass, and have gotten themselves really, really, really sick. Just as much as there's lots of those people that swear that it changed their life and it made them healthy, and they're not lying. They're telling you the truth. The cutting edge on nutrition is to understand who's who and what's what. Now, the downside to Wigmore, the Hippocratic Institute, people who eat cold or even room temperature juices, which by definition create cold, who are into the raw food movement, so to speak, who reply and demand and depend on the ideal chemistry of what they're eating, of the vegetable food they're eating, when they rely on that to nourish themselves, if their digestion is compromised, on top of the fact that so much of that cellulose you cannot digest, you begin to undernourish the body. And once the body's undernourished, it's susceptible to the very problems, the diseases, the genetic tendencies, the infections that you thought you were trying to solve. High salad diets, raw vegetable diets, the inclusion of tons of this stuff into bodies is good, but to the point where you begin to go in deficiency, when you start to go into deficiency, when you start to undernourish from bloating, from the fact that you can't pull enough nutrient because of the fiber, when you can't pull enough nutrient because the intestinal tract begins to inflame, when you start reflexing into spasms, your intestines, because the fiber and the indigestibility of what you depend on as a massive source of nutrient has inflamed your gut, you go into deficiency. This is why you'll run into so many of these people. And common sense dictates that when you're looking at someone that's rather puny, they're doing something wrong. And not all of them are that way. So let's not turn this into an assault on people who go to the raw vegetable, raw juices sort of mentality. But let's understand that you're bloating, and when you're getting gas and your head is intercepting the common sense that your body, you're getting a message. The physiology behind that message is you can't digest cellulose. Now, what about juicing? Here's the problem with the juice. The juice makes sense, right? I mean, commercially speaking, the soil's undernourished, and you can't get as much vitamin and mineral as you need. And vitamin and mineral is, if it's broken down into a liquid form, it's so wonderfully assimilable. And how can you criticize? Remember Jack LaLanne, right? Our beloved Jack LaLanne, the true All-American. And he'd be out there with the juice. I mean, going back into the 1930s, he was screaming juice. Guy was way ahead of it. But here's the point. Now get this. This is fascinating. When you drink 16, 24, 32, 48 ounces of juice a day, your intestinal villi are flooded with humongous quantities, massive quantities of vitamin and mineral, and they have to absorb them. You know, absorption is in the small intestine a process. It's a chemical process where the cell has to do work. It's not magic. You have to swallow your juice. The juice has to bump up against the brush border cells of the small intestine. And those cells have to go through their chemical process to take in vitamin and mineral. Now, although that vitamin and mineral is very assimilable, when you pump it into the villi at massive quantities, you overwork your intestines. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. And just like when the fiber goes in, when you give too much of a good thing to your intestinal villi, they inflame. How many of you have had juice, and the minute you drink it, you get diarrhea? That's right. Lots of you have had that phase where you do your health thing. You have your health kick, and you drink the juice, and you have gas all day. You have diarrhea for half the day, and you sit there, and you just can't understand. And then you get out to the local nutritionist, or your friend that runs the vitamin shop at the health food store, and he just tells you you're detoxing. How many people I've seen go off to the hospital for different things over 20 years, and they're simply told they're detoxing? No, you're not detoxing. You're annoying the dickens out of your body, and your body's trying to give you a message. You're not absorbing that juice. You've inflamed your intestines so harshly that your intestines shut down completely and you go rushing off to the toilet half the day. This is what a lot of people do. And again, it's that concept where your head begins to intercept the common sense of your body. Fascinating. Let's just take a look at digestion for a minute and keep in mind the process. Food goes down the mouth. Hopefully it's masticated. Down the esophagus into the stomach. So let's just do a little review. Your stomach puts and pumps all that hydrochloric acid if the autonomic nervous system is working. If you're in sympathetic dominance, you don't get the HCl. If you're A blood type, and often those A bloods internalize, you might be putting less in because you tend to feel your emotion in your stomach. But in the ideal of it, after that food is chewed, assuming you have teeth, assuming you take the time to chew the food, that food goes into the stomach, whereupon copious amounts of hydrochloric acid produced, and it begins to break up the protein. That whole bolus, now we call it a bolus of food, goes through valves, comes in through the cardiac valve, it goes out the pyloric valve of the stomach and into the duodenum of the small intestine, where it is met through the sphincter of Oddi. It's met by a lot of bile and a lot of pancreatic enzyme. And pancreatic enzyme is protease, it's lipase, it's amylase. In addition to the amylase that you were perfusing through your saliva, the food that you first put into your mouth. Big part of digestion, as you well know, is in the mouth. So now you're sitting now, eating your meal, and in your solar plexus, right, just below the sternum, that first inch or two of softness below the sternum, is your HCl and your bile and your pancreatic enzyme. By the way, did you know, this is your fun fact for the day, bile. The chemical name for bile is 3-alpha, 7-alpha, dihydroxy, 5-beta, colon 24-oic acid, or chenodeoxycholic acid. That's what bile is. It's another chemical. And the chemistry of that bile and the amount of lipase, protease, amylase, and the amount of hydrochloric acid, when you add it all up, it has to go up against that food. And it's got to break down that food. And it's got to turn that food into liquid. And if it does, if it turns that food into liquid, then you'll have digestion. You'll have the first part of digestion. What you're not going to have, what you won't have, is absorption. So understand, when you're bloating and you have gas, it's telling you something's wrong. Wrong with what? Wrong with a shortage of HCl, a shortage of bile, a shortage of pancreatic fluid? All combined, if you even have those, then you have to assimilate. When you're juicing, you've got digestion covered because you're getting liquid minerals and vitamins, but you don't have assimilation covered. Assimilation, then, is the second part of digestion. It's when your intestinal tract has to open its suckers through its intestinal villi and pull it in, and when it can't, you inflame anyway. So there's just a brief view of digestion from the stomach up till the point where you finish digestion and begin absorption. And then, of course, you have to have peristalsis working that takes it to the other end. And along the way, you've got probiotics, synergistic bacteria, that will also digest. And, of course, mixed into these probiotics are pathogens. And those pathogens, from parasites to different bacterial pathogens, to just an overgrowth of bad bacteria in general, from H. pylori in the stomach all the way down to the other end, are going to hijack. They're going to piggyback off the food you're eating. So it's crazy in there. So digestion is really this maelstrom of variables that you have to come out on the better side of. And how do you know if you are? You eat the food, disappears in your stomach after a $100 meal. After you've eaten amply, you stand up, you pull your belly in, and you feel like you didn't eat. And yet, you're satisfied. And the food you ate goes right to energy. No gas, no bloating, no reflux, no indigestion, no constipation, no diarrhea. That's how you know. You should have a dollar for every person eating salad and juice every day in the United States of America that doesn't have that response to the salad or the juice. And I'm starting to tell you why. You've got a piece of it right now. Okay. What are you going to do? What will you do then in terms of the future? How are you going to use this information? Well, number one, if you're compromised through your digestive system, if you can't do animal protein, and yet you're starving to death on salads, and yet even the salad doesn't work, you're going to have to master soup. You're going to have to become a soup master. And please don't give me a headache and tell me that means you're going to go to Whole Foods and go into those dingy steel pots and dip your ladle in there and call that soup. That isn't soup. That's garbage. That's low quality cuisine. That's not soup that's going to put meat on your ribs. What you're going to do is start making your own soups. And yeah, if your digestion is compromised to that point, it's a step you just got to take. And the book, of course, is Nourishing Tradition, Sally Fallon. She is the soup master. Sally Fallon, Nourishing Traditions. She'll teach you step by step how to make a hearty soup, how to make a stock. And you want to take your soup and turn it into a power soup. Leek and potato, tomato soup. These are not power soups. Power soups are soups where you have a strong stock and you throw in food. That's where you break down your chard and your collard greens. That's where you keep boiling and boiling and boiling and adding water, purified water, to a very rich soup stock where you put in your pink salts, where once the soup is made of all those wonderful vegetables that release all this wonderful type of vitamin and mineral into the broth, once you cool that soup down to about 100-105 degrees Fahrenheit so you can stick your finger in easily, now you turn it to power. Now you take the olives and you mush them into a pate and you add olive. Or you take egg and you throw the raw egg in and you just poach it in the soup. Now you take something like a homemade sour cream, a raw sour cream. Now you take raw butter. Now you take the nuts. After you've pulverized the nuts, and we'll get to that later, you throw a nut cream or a nut cheese into the soup. You add fats and nutrition into the soup. You can even, unlike a salad, you can even throw meat into that soup. You can take raw bison or raw fillet. You can grind it. You can turn it into a meatball. You can take these little meatballs. You can season them. And just at 105 degrees, you can throw them into a soup. Again, I could go on for hours with this stuff, and so could you. And if you take the time to eat that way, you've got no fiber to irritate your intestines. Even though you've lost a little bit of mineral, the amount of nutrient in that soup is so profound that you're going to get it all, but you're going to get it all with something that warms the belly. When the belly warms, when the intestines are warmed, you enhance digestion. Even room temperature juice is cooling. And that has its place also. But as far as people with a compromised digestion is known as no heat, no heat in the burner. It's a loss of agni. It means the digestive fire is out. It means the HCl, the bile. Suppose you're not making enough HCl. Suppose the bile just isn't flowing. Suppose you were born with a pancreas, and by the time you're 50 or 60, your pancreas is out. Yes, 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 digestive enzymes. Tons of people take digestive enzymes all the time, and they're still bloating and gassing and the rest of it. And the point is, I assure you, just as sure as we live and it's sunny today, you can change that if you understand how to master soup. Now the salad. If you're going to have a salad, the first thing you have to understand about the vegetable is that you can ferment it. So take cabbage and now take sauerkraut. The difference between cabbage and sauerkraut is enormous. Go out and experiment yourself. Go out and buy cabbage, grate it up into a coleslaw, and spend the next 3 or 4 days with gas and bloating. I guarantee you that's going to happen. Cabbage is enormously difficult to digest without bloating. It's such a fibrous food. Broccoli is like cabbage. The thing about broccoli is you can't shred it up. So people kind of know intuitively, gee, it doesn't make much sense to take a chunk of cauliflower or a chunk of broccoli and just start chomping on it. Although I have seen people do this. But cabbage is deceptive. It's just as fibrous as broccoli. But somebody figured out how to make coleslaw. So you throw that down, you add the mayonnaise in, the raisins, the carrots, this, that, and the other thing, and you start chomping away. It is not digestible food. Whatever you think you're getting, all the vitamin C from cabbage, whatever you think you're getting a little bit of. But even that aside, the point is what? Compare it to sauerkraut. Do that. Get the same amount of each, have raw coleslaw, and compare it to sauerkraut. If you don't bloat on the cabbage, forget this show in terms of forget what I'm saying for you with cabbage. Broccoli may be different, but cabbage, you're proving to yourself that cabbage somehow, and there's lots of reasons, you can digest it. But I'll guarantee you the majority of people that do this are going to find that the sauerkraut is infinitely better for their bowels, meaning they evacuate better because the probiotics in the cabbage will move the bowels, on top of which the cabbage is infinitely more, the sauerkraut is infinitely more digestible because the fiber has been broken down. So fermentation, the book, Wild Fermentation, Sandor Katz, S-A-N-D-O-R-K-A-T-Z. The book is Wild Fermentation. He's a fermentation king. He has a lab. He has almost a community in Upper New York State where they just ferment. They're fermenters. They look at how to take bacteria and mix bacteria together and then feed the bacteria to the food. That's how we make alcohol. That's how we make bread. Mankind has always used bacteria to digest food. And then we eat that food, and we call that the raw, unpasteurized food, beer. There's an amazing example of what I'm talking about, beer. If you drink a bottle of Miller or Bud or Heineken, and you compare that, those pasteurized beers, to a raw, unpasteurized fermented beer, in other words, one that hasn't been pasteurized, so it retains the good beneficial bacteria, you will amaze yourself. I mean, we all know beer belly, and beer belly is bloat, and bloat is there because we can't digest the beer. If you go to an unpasteurized beer, 90% of the time, you do not bloat. You don't have that experience. Now, this is the way you should be thinking about your vegetables, unless you want to steam them, unless you want to put them in soups. But if not, then you ferment them. And to ferment them, There's different ways of doing it. But one thing you do is you take vinegar and you pickle, called pickling. And pickling was an American farm tradition that still exists today, where you take the vegetable, and so the vegetable doesn't rot out. You put it in a jar with vinegar and water, and the vinegar starts to ferment, take apart the vegetable, and it preserves it. And it's in a jar in the cool basement that you built into your farmhouse. And over the months, all through those winter months, you pull out these jars and you eat the pickled vegetable. That's what sauerkraut is. Pickled cucumber, pickled cabbage, pickled beets, pickling. We don't have a tradition of picklers anymore. We should have picklers everywhere. We should have soup masters everywhere. Instead, we replace it with juicing. We replace it with the salad. Salads are great in restaurants. No one's going to pay top dollar to have pickled beets in a restaurant. It's not as groovy. Salad, in part a French tradition, is part of the savoir-faire. It's elegant. It's beautiful. It's lovely. And it truly is, and I'm not going to let you down. We're going to get to the salad. But the point is, in terms of health, when your digestion, your gut is compromised, you ought to be souping. You ought to be pickling. You ought to be steaming well. Forget the rest. There's a reason IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, is the number one or two leading cause of attrition each workday in the American workforce. We have inflamed our intestinal villi now to the point where we cannot digest without burning, gas, bloating, and the rest of it. And that causes another problem. And it's the biggest problem of all. When you bloat, whether you know it or not, you cut down on the amount of real food that you're supposed to inherit or digest. When you're trying to repair tissue, you've got to do it on protein and fat. And I don't want to make a massive argument today about animal protein versus plant protein, even though I should. But the point is, I kid you not, I have done this many, many, many times with people. When you're cachexic, when you're not thriving, when you're sick, when you're weak, when you know you're intestinally inflamed, if you're bringing in foods like ones we've talked about today, they will take the place of, they will substitute for the true hunger that causes you to eat a lot more meat, a lot more avocado, a lot more coconut, a lot more butter, a lot more cream, a lot more cheese, a lot more olive. And when you stop eating larger quantities of that, because you're bringing in fiber, because you're bringing in juice, because you're bringing in things that inflame you rather than things that soothe you. When you're going out at night and instead of having 12 ounces of raw sashimi and maybe a little bit of rice, and instead you're filling yourself with different types of foods that create that fullness rather than that rapid disappearance of the animal fare in the body, which you will experience, what you do then is you undernourish a body that needs many, many, many times the nutrition that a healthy person would need. You got to understand that this bloating gas thing, you look for it. You may suffer from it. It's a bloating, gassy problem with digestion where most of the things you eat don't agree with you, and your muscular system is disappearing. You're wilting. Lots of people like this. Now, if you're healthy and you're not bloating and you're not gassy, or if you still want to go for the salad that you go for is called the power salad. And the power salad you eat by itself. You don't mix it with meat. Do not mix salads with meat. You eat the salad by yourself, by itself. You turn it into a meal. See, this is the mistake we've made. We understand in the European tradition, in the Chinese tradition, in the Ayurvedic tradition, we understand how to take vegetable and mix it into a concoction where you can eat the whole salad as a soup or a stew, even though stews are terrible for different reasons. But the soup tradition is basically boiled salad. So the soup was used as a meal. You didn't have soup and then your meal. The soup was the meal. This is what you have to do with the salad, especially if you love salad. So number one, eating the salad by itself allows you to, or prevents you from having the digestive mishaps you're going to have if you throw chicken in. People grill chicken and throw it into their salad. That is a formula for disaster. People throw a tuna steak, which I hope they consume very rare, but most people cook that tuna through and then throw that into the salad. This is the kind of thing that people do in restaurants all the time, and they're certain that it's a healthy thing to do. And for as much as you're not getting your carbs, you're not going to digest that. Confusing for people. They hear carbs are no good, and so they do that vegetable thing, which must be good, with the meat, which they trust is good, or because they crave it, and then they throw those concoctions together, the meat salad, and they bloat. Very disappointing, confusing. Again, it's because people don't take the time to learn and to listen. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. If you're really confused, call my office. I've got a wonderful staff there. That's 949-873-2127, 949-873-2127. Go online to straighttalk.cc, look at the archives. If that's all you can do, do that. If you can do a little bit more, sign up and enroll in my school. It's a wonderful, low-cost, low-energy solution with a ton of knowledge. And over time, over 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, every 6 weeks you come. My office is almost finished in Costa Mesa. It's an absolute masterpiece. I invite you all to come down and see it at one time or another for whatever you need to do. The Power Salad. We'll be talking to you next week. And I guess I'll finish next week with the power salad.
You've been listening to Straight Talk. Have a great week. With Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Yeah. Hello? Am I back on the air? Hi, everybody. I thought it was me. It was K-Bright. That's all right. Everybody's entitled to a mistake. I had about, what? I've got about 6-7 minutes. Okay. The power salad. What you're going to do to make it a power salad is you're going to eat that salad by itself. Try it at night. If you're going to try to lose weight, do it at night. Come home and get creative about the salad. Now, the thing about the salad, a power salad, is you got to turn the dressing. The dressing has to be a nutritional masterpiece. Not some cheap oil and some lousy vinegar, but artistry. And that's where you have to master the nut dressings. Nuts with a very high-grade olive oil. Take a raw cashew. Take a sweet cherry tomato. and take some olive oil and put it in a masticator, put it in a chomper, put it in a Vitamix, put it in a food processor, and you have a nut dressing. Take avocado and a macadamia nut, and you have a nut dressing. Take an almond, mix the almond with a little bit of coconut water, and turn that into a paste, and throw that with the coconut oil, the coconut water, and the almond, throw that onto your favorite set of greens. But those greens should not be collard greens, kale greens, chard greens. They should be more like romaine, arugula, maybe spinach, endive. They should be the lighter, less dense in terms of fibers, the less fibrous greens with the power dressing. You can even take a very high-grade olive oil. So, ground by stones, stone-ground olive oil. That's cold-pressed, the acidity of which is low. So it's got to have a sweet sort of fragrance to it, that olive oil. And yeah, they're pricey. But this is your help. And a little bit of olive oil, high-grade, stone-ground, fertile soil, goes a long way with a high-grade balsamic. Those balsamics like syrup. Balsamic vinegar in parts of Italy goes for $500 an ounce. There are grades of balsamic and grades of balsamic and grades of balsamic. And if you take a little bit of balsamic and you add it to a high-grade olive oil and you mix that into your greens and then you add raw cheese. So again, your cheeses, a fermented food, an aged food, not your pasteurized garbage 30, 60, 90 day aged cheese, but your 2-3 year aged cheeses. And then you throw a little bit of fruit in, a little bit of fruit, a little bit of an apple. Apples and cheese go together. Apples, cheese, greens, high grade balsamic, high grade olive oil. Then you throw in the yolk of the egg. You take an egg and you poach it. You poach the egg and you pull out just the yolk and you spread the yolk into the egg. And then the white of the egg is solid. So you chop that and you throw that in. So now you've got the raw yolk. You've got the white of the egg. You've got a little bit of fruit. You've got that sweet, tangy, exotic balsamic mixed with the oil. Perhaps then you'll spruce in crushed garlic. You're adding it to your greens. And then you top it with an aged cheese. That's the concept. This is an opportunity. The salad is an opportunity for you to use your imagination to turn it into power. So it's its own meal, because one of the primary problems when people eat salad is they make the salad, they put the cellulose, the fiber in, as an addendum to the main part of the meal. And then the fiber messes up the digestion of the main part of the meal. That's big. You should be pounding down the meat during the week. Or the big meal should be lunch. And it's just so counter. It's just so problematic for people. It's just so problematic because we're all so busy during the day. And I understand, and you guys are working up at 6 to home at 6. Who has time to eat during the day? But we've got to come to terms with this. If you're sitting down and you're trying to get your greens in with your meat, because now you finally have the time to do it, do this instead. Have your power salad at lunch. Prepare a power salad in the morning and eat it at lunch. And then have your bigger meal at night. If you absolutely have to, do that. But don't mix those fibrous vegetables in with your meat or your carbs. Pasta and salad, no good. Meat and salad, no good. You can do meat in a soup because you don't have to deal with the fiber. But meat with a salad, verboten. Power salads. You can take your vegetables, like your peppers, and you can bake your peppers. Now, there's a counterintuitive statement on my part. Baking a pepper. This is ridiculous because the pepper is absolutely destroyed. But baked peppers taste great. And for the sake of browning a red pepper and turning that into the delicacy and then eating the rest of the salad raw, what you've done is you've enhanced flavor. And this is the thing. We eat our greens or we don't eat our greens because we don't know how to prepare them. We get totalitarian. Yeah, I'm going pure, clean, healthy, and raw. And there's that piece of broccoli out there in the field. I'm going to pull it out and chomp it down. And now I'm healthy. And this is nonsense. So when it comes to breaking a mold and throwing in a roasted red pepper, browned and blackened, spruced with a good oil, seasoned with salt, and thrown into raw greens with cheese and apple and so on and so forth, that we're not going to do. We're one way or we're the other way. And this is where we lose. This is where you can't afford to lose. Integration, 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 and integration. Totalitarianism, dogmatic perspectives in nutrition are everywhere. Are you a meat eater or are you a vegetarian? Are you a natural hygienist or are you a vegan? This type of mentality is not what you're about. You're about the intuitive faculty. Then we have an eclectic world. We have choices that you make specific to you based upon centers of intelligence that are much higher than this dogma. And I think that's the show. All right. God bless. We'll see you next week. 949-873-2127. If you're confused. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.